The Lord is able to do all things. I'm going to tell you something. This morning, it just something kind of troubled me the past few days. I like to study the Bible and look at things, and I teach the adult Sunday school class. We got a mixture of older people, younger people, all kind of people. We teach. So I basically do that most of the time. But you know, he laid something on my heart not long ago, and I had no idea where that he would ever use this, but he laid something on my heart. Whenever, actually, there was some studies about we were talking about young people and the things. By the way, I've got this is kind of unique. I got all four of my sons here. Hey, ain't that something? Got almost all of my grandchildren here. So it's unusual that my grandchildren would say, "Oh, me, Papa's fixing to give us a lecture." That's what they usually tell me. But now, what is for those of my grandchildren that are here that I've taken to school? Whenever we would go to school, what's the first thing I made you do? What was it? Put up the phones. Okay, everybody's got your phone. Let's turn our phones off for a little while. Yeah, there you go. But the Lord laid something on my heart that was kind of, I kind of looked at it and I said, yeah, the study, the generation, from one generation to another we come to. And listen, y'all pray for me. I didn't know how that the Lord wanted me to have this. I figured that we'd be teaching it sometime in Sunday school class, but I didn't know this morning that I would get the call that Alan was sick. So, but then the Lord says, "Ha! See, I already got you something here. So, but y'all pray for me." But before we do, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day and thank you for the blessings. I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that gave his life for us, Father, that we might be saved. And Father, I pray the things that you laid on my heart, the things that you put in my heart, that you'd bring them out, Lord. And Father, help us to always to remember that it's you, Lord, that gives us anything that's good in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Amen. But I look back on the Bible, and if you look at the scriptures, and it's talking to the young people especially today, it was always the young people that God called on to do the things, the rough things in this world. The foundations have been laid from generation to generation about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith, it's always been their place to have to somehow take up the slack or to deliver that which God has. I mean, let's remember, I was just looking at some of them this morning while I was there at the house. I was trying to remember some of them. Joseph, 17 years old, cast out by his own family. I mean, rejected by his own. How like it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. At 17 years old, his own brothers threw him in the ditch and then sold him. They were going to kill him, but then they sold him. He was carried into the land of Egypt. And there he found himself in prison. But he did not give up. He did not give up. Then we find David, who I assume to be about 14 years old. 14 years old, but yet, and we're going to talk a little bit about David here in just a few minutes, but David, at 14 years old, how the faith that he had in God, he didn't say, uh-oh, you know, I can remember times in my life when I said, uh-oh, Lord, I need you now. I mean, I've said that scripture several times, and I think we're all like that, because listen, in God's sight, we're all young people. We are. Just remember this, we're just passing through. But David, at 14 years old, the Bible says he walked out and faced the giant. Then we got Daniel the prophet. We're going to talk a little bit about Daniel here in just a few minutes. But Daniel, taken out of his country, overwhelmed. The young people were taken out of the land that they had been in Israel and brought into the Babylonian kingdom. And there they were told that there would be a new life for them. They were to change their thoughts, change their ideas, to forsake those things that had been established in their life. Then you got, and another one came to my mind while I was thinking a while ago, Gideon. Gideon, just a little old boy, was sitting over there, helping his daddy. And all of a sudden, the angel appeared unto him and said, hey, thou mighty man of God. You've got to remember that God sees you for what you can be, not for one time. Sometimes we think that we are. And then we got Josiah. Josiah, 8-year-old king, took over in Israel. He removed all the things, restored worship in the temple, and gave back. Always, young people, it seems like, Mary, maybe 15 years old, was suddenly shocked by the appearance of an angel that told him, say, you're going to deliver the Savior of the world. And she, you know, a lot of young people today, we might have jumped up and said, hey, I'm going to turn on some loud music and get rid of this. I can't do this. But you know what? She was submissive. She said, let it be as thou would say. And then, of course, we've got John, the Apostle John. When you read the scriptures and you study about the 12 apostles, sometimes we think that they were men that were a whole bunch of men, but yet they were a mixture of young men, ordinary men. We talk about this sometimes in Sunday school. And John the Apostle, it is believed to be as young as 15 years old. But he followed the Lord Jesus Christ. And always when John talked about the Lord in his relationship with him, he said, and I am the one that the Lord loveth. You got to remember that in the scripture, that God loves you individually, and he's able to do that. But anyway, in this scripture, I said, I wanted to point out a few things that is in our country today that we have to realize what's taking place. Is there anybody here that would doubt that our nation is under attack? The very foundations of our nation are under attack. Trying to change the minds of all the people. Yes. Trying to destroy those things that which we have been established. That most of us have that foundation that's built up under us. Trying to destroy the minds of the young people. To forsake those things that you know to be true. To forsake those things. To reject those things that you've been taught. It's in the same thing. Even not just so much with our young people. But it's in our nation today. To do away with those things that we've known to be true.
Yeah.
Right. All these times. Forget the sacrifices that many made. You know, this morning while I was studying, I just went over, I just said, I'm going to look a little bit at what happened in our country, the historic facts that's taken place in our country. And many here have been in service, and you know about these things. But I looked over the millions of young people that have given their life for this country.
Amen.
Most of them died somewhere between 17 and 22 and 23 years old. Never got to fulfill their lives that we have. Because they gave their lives that we. I like the expression where they says, some gave, all gave some gave all. And I looked over that, and I began to look back and to see what has happened to America. Because when I began to look at the scriptures, and when the Lord gave me this, I began to kind of look back and to see, and there's several instances that took place where that the balance was placed on the young people, the direction that they would go, the direction that they would take. They try to create a new idea in young people. I read a quote. I read two quotes here, and I think I'll try to, it'll be a good time. The new rebel or the new skeptic. To try to create the skeptic today is what. And this is something a fellow wrote in the 1890s. He said this, but the new rebel is a skeptic. He doesn't entirely trust anything. He has no loyalty. Neither can he never be really a revolutionist, and the fact that he doubts everything really creates his way, and he wants to denounce anything. For all denunciation implies a moral doctrine of some kind, and the modern revolutionist doubts the institution that he denounces. But the doctrine of that which he denounces is a politician. He cries out his war against the waste of life, and then as a philosopher, he says that all life is a waste of time. A Russian pessimist will denounce a policeman for killing a peasant and then proved by the highest philosophical principles that the peasant ought to have killed himself. The man in this school goes first to a political meeting where he complains that savages are trusted as if they were beasts. Then he takes his hat and umbrella and goes to a scientific meeting where he proves that they are practically our beasts. In short, the modern revolutionist today, being an infinite skeptic, is always undermining his own minds. In the book of his politics, he attacks men for trampling morality. In his book, he attacks morality for trampling on man. Therefore, the modern man is revolt has become practically useless in his revolt. By rebelling against everything, he has lost his right to rebel against anything. I mean, if you really take a look at it, it's some of the doubts. It has to come back to a place where a person says that I believe and I trust in him. Another generational thought that comes to mind on Auschwitz. Anybody know where Auschwitz or heard of Auschwitz? I think it's in Poland, isn't it? But there's an engraving written there by the socialist Hitler. Socialist, by the way. Look at where we're at today in our country. But the socialist Hitler wrote this, had it engraved on Auschwitz. He said, "Let us come to a generation of youth that are devoid of conscience, imperious, ruthless, and cruel." Destroy this country and begin with the youth. Who was it? I think it was Stalin. I kind of remember back in my days of school, but I believe it was Stalin. He said, "You can take the largest military in the world, but give me the professors and the colleges, and I'll change your nation and thereby destroy it." But let's just look at some of these things. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, and we're going to read the first verse. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years nor draw near, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I think that as our young people go out into the world, and listen, this is kind of a message. I guess I'm talking more to my grandchildren, because I had no idea that I was going to be talking to y'all, that I was going to be lecturing some of y'all or whatever, because a lot of they joke about it. But I mean, let me tell you something. The things that have gone on in this world, one of the problems that's happened in this country is that we've forgotten the history. And as I just pointed out about some of these things, and this is God in himself saying these words to the writer of this. To remember, sometimes when you're challenged in things in life, you've got to always look back suddenly. Now, does this fit with what I think it's going to be? Sometimes we don't recognize the outcome of something, that we make a simple choice. It's a choice. Remember. And you know what goes along with remembering? Is this, I mean, you can take a scripture out of the Bible for everything. There's one of Joe's quoted scriptures that I noticed he quoted several times that I really enjoy. "You are made wonderfully in the sight of God. Every one of you, every person here, as a matter of fact, God created you the way you are." Yes, there's choices. You'll make mistakes. I often say sometimes in the class, you know, I beat myself over the head sometimes with the things that I've done in my past. I want to tell y'all something, and you may not believe it. I'm not an angel. But you know what? I was raised by two loving parents that didn't have it easy. Just to give you a kind of an example, my dad, at 16 years old, he lost his mother, and there was two younger children below them. And some of y'all may remember. No, I don't think y'all remember my dad. But his mother was sick with TB, and they brought her back here to Hiram at 16 years old. Some of y'all are a little older than that. they were in business. They sent me. My dad went back to Mississippi to finish a child job that they never got paid for. The depression hit, and they asked. My dad told me several times. Said I asked Papa. I said, Daddy, why are we doing this? We're not going to ever get paid for it. He said, Son, I shook hands. I put my word on it. You know what? The foundation that we have had of faith and trust, not only in God, but in each other, in your word. As young people today, honor not just what God has given you, but honor your word. If you say you're going to do it, do it. You know what I mean? Remember thy creator. Remember the one who made you in everything that you do. I mean, you can't, Mandy was singing a while ago, and I was thinking, I started to get up here and tell y'all that I really taught her how to sing. But actually, I didn't. I heard of the man one time that was telling this, the little boy came to his mother, and he said, Mommy, he said, Daddy's not going to church with us, but he was telling me he didn't go to church because we came from apes, and we, you know, that's what they're teaching in college today. We came from apes. And the mama looked at the little boy and said, Son, God made me, but your daddy's telling you about his side of the family. So, you had to remember your creator. Every one of you, raise your hand, all the young people. Raise your hand. You were created by God, each of you individually. The Bible says that he numbers the very hair of your head. He knows everything about you. He looks at everything you do. The Bible said that his eye is forever on his children. Nothing can happen to you. I remember a young guy that worried about stuff and everything like that, did not realize it, that everything is in his hands. Right. Even our lives as older people. But another part of the scripture, you've got to remember, is trust. The Bible says that Joseph, I looked at this earlier today, and I thought, how amazing. Hear this, and we mentioned him a while ago, this 17-year-old boy. 17-year-old boy, cast out by his own, rejected by his own family. We've never faced that. There's other people in other countries that have, but he was totally rejected by his own family and his own nation at that time. Unbeknownst to his dad, his boys, out of a jealous rage, they didn't know that it all fell into the hands of God, but always through this place, Joseph kept his faith in the Lord, in his faith. 17 years old, and he spent 12 years in prison. But in all of the scripture, even when the troubles, even when things will come, and listen to me, young people, there will be things that will come that you won't have an answer for.
That's right. Amen.
And you want to answer it right now, but sometimes you've got to let the Lord handle it. Yep. Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes in troubles, he's teaching us something. We have to learn. It always don't just take place. We're a nation today that we want everything done. You know, it's just like the cell phone. I do like these. You know, I do like them. I like them because I can call my wife, my kids. I mean, they're really the ones that gave us the phones. I mean, we got phones now. We can get in touch with the kids, whatever. I like that. I like the information. But let me tell you something. It's not your friend. You know, we talked about this sometimes in our Bible study here at church, but sometimes you're almost like a cell phone. You've got all of the information that's piled into you, but God should always be the one that we realize it's him. Turn that thing off every now and then, and especially don't go to places where you don't know you don't need to go. That's right. Joseph was a 17-year-old boy. But he put his faith in the Lord. And you know what it says in here? Several places in the scripture. I'm just wondering. Genesis, the 39th chapter. And the Lord was with Joseph. When you put your faith in God, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, but when you put your faith in him, he did it all. Your salvation's got nothing to do with you. Do you realize that? He made the deal. It is He. He said, the Bible says in Ephesians, for by grace through faith are you saved. God's grace, your faith. That's it. God's grace, your faith. Jesus paid it all. He did it. He went to the cross for you. He was rejected by His own, just like we was talking about Joseph. God could have stayed the hand of the executioner, which was the world, but He did not. The hand of God did not come down on Jacob, on Isaac rather, but it did come down on Christ. He gave His life, all of the sins of the world that I have had. All I've got to do now is accept and believe on Him, and they're all erased from mankind. But Joseph had his trust in Him. He stayed with Him. What would have happened to Joseph if he had said, well, you know what? I'm rejected by my own family. I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go like the Egyptians do. I'm going to be like them. Then when Potiphar's wife came after him, he could have said, oh, well, it's an opportunity for me to experience something in life that should be kept for marriage. I'm telling you, young people, don't do things that you know is wrong. You'll pay. You'll ask someday something you wish you hadn't. Don't do it. Always weigh the things in life. Sometimes the penalty becomes too great. We talked about it. Matter of fact, we talked about it in our Bible class here Sunday night. That's the spiritual thing that somehow enters into our mind today that, oh, yeah, we need to try this. It comes in through all the mediums. Y'all are the most attacked generation that there is, has ever been. And the reason is because all the world is piling on you to try to take away, first of all, the things that you've remembered in your life, the faith that you've had, the foundation that you've had, is trying to be taken away, trying to destroy. Somebody was talking about it this morning, that one of the churches here had rejected one of the precepts of the Baptist doctrine. I can't remember which one it was. But said that they decided it was a new time, a new day. Have to look back on Malachi where God said, I change not.
Amen.
That's exactly right.
The third chapter of John says 3:16 said, I came into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through me might be saved.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to whosoever believeth in Him. And you know what the principal word in that scripture is? Should not perish. Jesus laid His life down up on the cross for us in order that we might be saved and also that you might not perish.
Amen.
But anyway, Joseph, all through these years, and then finally at the outcome, when Joseph was patient with the Lord and he let the Lord work in his life, and he knew all the time in the scripture, I know that Joseph did, and he prayed to the Lord constantly. But he realized God was with him. If you want to read that, go through Genesis. Go back about the 39th chapter and you'll see where almost every place it talks about Joseph, but God was with him. Does anybody here feel like that God's not with you? He's always with you. You know what? Individually, we all look. You know, I like what Brother Quinn used to do. He'd say, look to your right. Everybody look to your right. Look at the person to your right, we'll say. Now, everybody look to your left. And what was it he used to say? He said that science says that there's at least one-third of the people.
One out of three
people in the world are ugly. How about the two that you looked at?
We're wonderfully made.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. That's an amazing thing to me. You know, we was talking about John there, back that young boy, apostle of John. I think he was about 15 years old. I kind of did a little study on him back years ago, how he became the revelator, the one that God revealed His revelation to. All through the scripture, if you'll look at the book of John, he never mentioned his name. He always referred to himself as the one that the Lord loved. And I think that sometimes in our own way, we don't realize that. that God, I think about myself, I say, you know what? How could he love me? Well, I look back on the things that I did and some of the things I thought about doing. But you got to remember that God loves you. Anyway, we'll move on before I start chasing rabbits. Somebody was telling me that, oh, Tommy used to tell me about chasing rabbits. And he said chase them. So we might be here for 2 or 3 hours. But Joseph, you know, Proverbs, the third chapter in the, I think it's the fifth verse, but it says the just, third chapter in the fifth verse, it says, but the just shall live by faith. Listen, this is a faith road. I got faith in him that's brought me here. And I've come here by a winding road. And I'm assuring you here, those of you that are here, you came here not simply by your own direction. That winding road has brought us all right here. You know? There's nobody here that God's neglected. There's nobody here that God does not love. There's nobody here that he would not send his son for in order to save him, to save you. But anyway, I was looking at that with this guy talking about trust. And it kind of compares to this. Back several years ago, they say there was a fellow at the Tallulah Gorge up here in North Georgia, and he stretched a cable across the gorge. Some of y'all might remember it years ago where he was pushing a wheelbarrow loaded with concrete and stuff. Yeah, and he had across that gorge, and it was hundreds of feet down. And the guy was pushing the wheelbarrow across, and everybody's come back, and he says, every crowd standing around says, does anybody believe I can do it again? And everybody, all the hands went up, said, yes, he can. He said, okay, who's going to get in the wheelbarrow? That's going to bring me to the final point that I'm going to bring to you is about the trust. The trust that he talks about in Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter, the 29th verse, he says, the invisible things belong to God. Those things that are unseen. There's so many things that are unseen in this world today that you and I don't even recognize. There's so many protections that God's given. One of my grandchildren had a wreck not too long ago. God kept that thing from being disastrous. You know? You say, well, that's providence. No, it's not providence. That's him taking care of his own. Because listen, once you're a child of God, nothing happens to you that he don't know about. Yeah. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. But I want to look at one more. Now we got Joseph, and we talked about some of the others. But I want to give you another one here, before our time slips away. Daniel, the book of Daniel. Now you know I had all these marked, and now I've lost it. But got too many papers in my Bible. And I want to tell you about this because this one is so apropos to our 2 hour day to day. In around 605 BC, Babylon overtook Israel, Judah, and they took all of the young people and brought them not all of them, but the select young people that they knew of and brought them into their kingdom. And he says in this fourth verse, this is the first chapter of the book of Daniel, and he says, and the children of whom have no blemish but are well favored and skillful in all their wisdom and cunning and knowledge and understanding and science and their ability to stand in the king's palace of whom they had teached their learning. And the king appointed them a provision of the king's meat and wine, and they drank, so nourished them 3 years at the end thereof that they might stand before the king. They wanted them to compromise. You know, to take a word that had been given to them. Because remember, these children are captured. And now what they're trying to do is brainwash them, to clear them of these thoughts and ideas about God. As we was talking about here, and of course, all of this leads to the fact that we've gotten to the place in this country where we want to erase our roots. We want to demonize. I heard the other day that they're trying to demonize George Washington. You know, talk about what a sorry fellow he was. The fellow that made the statement, he said that no nation could be led without the hand of God on it. I mean, there's truly nobody. Listen, I'm a nut about this country. I love this country. I love this country. This is the greatest country that's ever been on the face of the earth. America has rescued and saved and helped more people than any other nation that has ever been. God gave this country. Hey, we had a handful of men that gave up everything they had. Study the people. Study the signers of the Declaration of Independence, and you'll find that most of them lost everything they had. A lot of them were killed during the Revolution. All men are created equal by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these is life. What have we done with life? I mean, if you look at our nation, it's been misled and carried off into this thing where we've decided we can destroy life just as it arrives. And now we have opportunities, I hope, to turn back. But if you see it now, we're still, the attack is taking place. And it won't be long. It'll be on the Christian nation, God's people. But anyway, in these things, here was all of these Hebrew children, two or three of them you'll recognize, was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was a boy in the crowd, and his name was Daniel. Sometimes you have to nail it down in your life. I will not go no further. And among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's not their Hebrew names. It says, and unto the prince of the eunuchs named, he gave to Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, Hananiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Azariah, Abednego. And I want you to, here's the verse that I want, I've set all this to get to. This little old boy said this. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the wine that he drank. Therefore, he requested the prince of the eunuchs that he would not defile himself. Sometimes you got to go to a place where you say, I'm not going any further. I'm not going to take that. You've got to trust in him. And then, so this little old boy, Daniel, later became, this is a major prophet. He's most quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ. He and Isaiah, he quoted him several times. Daniel was given the ability to see things far into the future, even to the end of the world. Daniel in the 7th, 9th chapters, I think it is. When I talk to you about one other young person, and everybody's going to know this fella. His name's David. And I've got to find it, too. But it would be, for those of you, it would be 1 Samuel 17. If I can find it, y'all forgive me. But I want to tell you about David. David was the youngest of about 6 brothers. He was a little shepherd boy. He set out in the desert watching the sheep, watching his dad's sheep, taking care of the jobs that his daddy had given him. He was too, you know, the scripture doesn't say it, but see, he was too young to even be in the military. But he was trained. He didn't know that some of the things that he had learned in his life, as his life was developed, he didn't know these little talents that he had come, playing the guitar, Jeff. Well, you don't know music either, do you? Don't know music. I knew a man one time that could read only the Bible. God, he never learned how to read and write. But he went into a hole in a creek down in Decatur, down here. He lived to be almost 100. But he went into a hole with the Bible because he was so frustrated that he couldn't read God's word. And he came out reading the Bible. Amen. But sometimes I'd pass by and he'd hand me a letter. Can you read this letter to me? And I'd read it to him because he couldn't read it. He could only read the scriptures. We don't know the things, the talents that we have that God has given us. The health and the ability, the mind's work that God has given us, the desires, the things that we want to do. But remember, those things that you want to do, it's God's that's given. Not only did he give you the ability, but he also give you the inspiration for it, to do these things. Like I say, I didn't really teach Mandy to sing. I'm not going to tell a story while I'm up here. But sometimes we have ideas that we think will work, but they won't. I heard a guy one time says, he was passing by this farmer's house, and he saw a guy running, had three bunch of chickens out there, and they all had three legs. And the guy says, "What? What?" He says, "I got to go." "Oh, yeah, we had an idea about this, about a chicken." Said, my wife likes chicken leg. My son likes chicken leg. I like chicken leg. We don't care much for any of the other part. We just like the legs." Guy says, "Well, how do they taste?" He said, "I don't know. We can't catch them." So, sometimes the idea that I got won't work. Sometimes the idea that I got won't work. Sometimes it pays to take the scripture to look back and say, you know, what has worked? What is right? What is right for me? But we know this, that the foundation that has been laid down for us in the past of this nation. Look at what's happening today. Literally, I'm going to tell you something. I was watching the TV other than the political arguments that are back into about our president. And I know he talks rough. That's the way these New Yorkers talk. I've been around them, so. But the thing about it is, some of the precepts that he's got are pretty good.
Yeah, are,
returning those things back to the values that we have.
Yep.
But our country is hanging by a thread.
Yeah.
And listen, God's got a pair of scissors if he wanted to.
That's right. That's right.
My people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways,
yeah,
and seek my face. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. But Daniel, in the third chapter there, David, this lad of a little boy, 14, 15 years ago. And like I say, the Bible and the whole scripture is built on young people. I mean, God gave almost everything to the jobs of young people. Mary, we talked about it all because you see, that's at the time when they're impressionable. Got my youngest grandchild back there. He's just like Jesus said, and I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody said, "What's heaven like?" Well, you look at my youngest grandson back there, you see what heaven's like. Jesus said it. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. And he said this, "For of such is the kingdom of God." When you look at a little child, the wonder, the trust that it has. I take that little baby sometimes, set him up on top of the refrigerator. He'll sit there for a minute. He's got a little bit of fear in his mind, but I can say, "Come on, buddy, I got you." And he, shoo. How many of us are that way?
Exactly.
Trust. 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 Lord, I don't know where this is going, but sink or swim, I'm going with you.
Amen.
I've done that.
Amen.
I don't know where it's going, Lord, but I'm going with you.
Yes.
I'm going to trust you. I'm going to put my faith and confidence just like Joseph. For 12 years, he had that mire, that problem where he stayed in the prison. And then, of course, we got Daniel carried out of his own country, and then they tried to brainwash him and clear him. The one thing they couldn't take, listen, they can pass all the laws they want to, but they can't take what's in your mind and your heart. They can't take it. They can't take your beliefs. If you have faith and trust in him, he'll carry you through no matter what. Went to see a friend of mine. Some of you I know that know Sam Posey. Went to see him, day before yesterday, I guess, wasn't it, Sherry? And we didn't know. Shook his hand, talked with him. We had prayer. Didn't know the next morning he's going to be leaving. Listen, I want that when I get ready to go. You may think, "Well, you're a bold guy." No, I'm not neither. Hey, when it comes to some things, I want to be holding on to his hand when I leave his word.
Yes, amen.
When I'm ready to go, I want to have my faith and trust. I want to be right with him and ready to go. Then this is the thing about David. He is one of the oddest fellows in the scripture, but one of the most amazing people there was. Little bitty boy out there every day. He didn't know what it was. He didn't know the talents that God had given him. But he takes this flip every day. He's practicing. Every day he's practicing. He don't know what it's used for. And also, I believe he studied the scripture, because remember, he wrote most of Psalms. And there's one scripture in there that I think every one of us should pay attention to. "I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." So many scriptures that we quote in Psalms. Jesus also quoted Psalms a great deal. And we do that, the 23rd Psalm. Remember, one of the most quoted scriptures, of course, in the Bible. But he said, but anyway, David, in the 29th verse of the first chapter of the 17th chapter of the uh, of uh, First Samuel. He's out there in the bushes taking care of the sheep, and somebody comes down there and says, "Hey, your daddy Jesse has called and says he wants you to take lunch to the boys, to your brothers that are serving in the army." So David goes back, and they hand him the little basket of food. And David, who's so he's unchanged by the world to this point, he takes his basket. And when he gets there, he sees all the children of Israel behind the side of the mountain, and they're hiding. And he looks down in the valley, and there's a 9-foot-6-inch giant named Goliath standing in the bottom of the mountain. Sometimes our battles seem like they're really big, really tall. And you listen, young people, y'all ain't faced too many yet, but you will. You will. You sometimes you're going to get to a place, "Lord, I can't handle this. I can't handle this. I'm not going to be able to do it." But you know what? David, he didn't realize that he had been trained for. He looked down there and he told them boys, he said, "Listen," and the name of this one here, this part right here is where David, when David comes to this is knowing the outcome. David knew the outcome. Just a little old boy. Just a little old kid. Like my little old grandbaby, it's on the refrigerator. He's not jump off that refrigerator because he knows I'm going to catch him. And he's got love. He's got trust. He's got faith in those things that he believes in. And holding on to that. But anyway, David goes down there and he looks, and all of his brothers said, "David, get down. That giant will see you. He's 9-foot-6-inches tall. And by the way, he's got 4 brothers and they're big as he is." And David looked down. "Ain't none of them big as my God."
Amen. Yes.
Knowing the outcome gives us confidence in our faith and our trust. But he looks down there and he sees that giant. And he said, "Listen, give me." So they carried him back there and tried to put all the armor on him. And I can understand, David's just a little boy, maybe 14. He's too young to be in the army, the Israeli army. He's got this little shepherd's bag. He got his flip, and they said, "Hey, put this armor on." So they tried Saul's armor. Saul was a giant man anyway. He was over 7 foot tall. He's the one that should have been down there fighting that giant. But David said, no, I can't use this stuff. It's probably swallowed him. It's probably had his elbows sticking out of it. He couldn't even twirl his flip. We sometimes get encumbered by the things of this world that don't work. You know what? If it don't work, leave it alone.
Amen.
Let it go. You know, sometimes we got to come to a place in our own minds and our own heart where we say, "I ain't going to do that because it don't work. It ain't going to work. It's been tried. It's been proven not to work." But you know what? We're in a upcoming voting election. We're about 50% or 40-something percent of the people going to vote for socialism. It ain't never worked in anywhere in the world. Never. I mean, that's just how a nation can be deceived, but sometimes we as individuals will do the same thing. But David walks down there, and he says, and the giant starts making all these curses to him and everything like that. But I want to tell you what, I want to read you what this little old boy said. Little 14-year-old boy says this, talking about trust. "Then David said to the Philistine, 'Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day the Lord will deliver me into my hand, and I will smite thee, take thy head from thee, and give thy carcass to the host of the Philistines.'" You know, sometimes you got to be plain about it. This day, you got to know the outcome. So what have we learned here? And I won't keep y'all too much longer. As I said, God sees us. A lot of times we think that I know years ago when the boys, I got my 4 boys here. Let me tell you something. This is something that you as young people can have. This is a little tidbit. But when my 4 boys were young, we'd make a trip to Colorado and go hunting. And my oldest boy back there, he would take we didn't have the money to just load up and go. We had to sleep in the truck or whatever. We'd carry us a tent and we'd do that. We'd go out there. We went 11 times. But I went 11 times carrying different ones. But my oldest boy would set a jar on the counter. And every time one of us would come in and had a little extra money, we'd put money in the jar. Because we needed gas when we headed that way. A little jar of a vision of what we were going to do. We were putting our hopes, our little bit of hopes in that. And then later on, when the time was right, we would get that old truck I had. It had an old 83 Chevrolet pickup truck. It wouldn't go with about 60 miles an hour, wide open, downhill. It was rough. But we'd go out there and we'd see all of God's blessing. Boy, I mean, you talk about the beautiful mountains. And we wasn't always successful, but we would go and we would see all the things. But we would always thank the Lord for it. Whenever, and I'll tell you this, and I think all of you young people should remember this. Whenever you go to a restaurant, wherever you go, bow your head and thank the Lord for it. You know? But anyway, in that Colorado trip one time, I never don't remember which one it was, but one of the boys we were driving, maybe a couple of them in the back or asleep, but we were riding down the road, and one of them said, Daddy says, you know, look at that train. And when you're driving through New Mexico, you're kind of on a rise, and you can look down, and you'll see a train. I'm talking about not just a train coming. You would look down and see the whole train. And I said, that's kind of the way it is with our life. God sees the beginning and he sees the end.
Amen.
There's not a person here that God doesn't know all about you.
That's right.
I've done it many a times. I've even ruffled myself up from time to time to show how good I was or how better I was, but I wasn't. The Lord knows where we're at. I mean, even when you pray, the Bible makes it plain. Even when you pray, God already knows what you need before you even ask for it. It's amazing. But David walked out there, and knowing the outcome, David said this day, and I don't believe David trembled a bit. I don't believe he was shaking a bit. Because you know what? The scripture tells us that there was that giant had everything covered. David even expected more. You know why? No, he expected more. And sometimes we in our own life, we got to expect more. When he got down there to that branch, he reached down and he picked up not only a stone for Goliath, but he picked up four more, didn't he, Tom? You know why? Because he figured this. He figured this ain't going to be all of it. The Lord's going to have to do it all today. But he didn't know it. He's just going to have to kill giant, right? Yep. Kill Goliath. But he put some other four stones in his pocket just waiting on his four brothers. Yep. And when his four brothers, even as big as they were, when they heard of David, I got a feeling they turned around and headed the other way. They went to Syria or Jordan or somewhere. But I think they were later killed, I believe, in the Old Testament. But anyway, David, you've got to sometimes expect and prepare. You know what? Young people, whatever you're going to do in life, listen, let me say the first thing too here. I don't know what all of y'all have experienced in your lives. But you want to remember this. Paul, the only apostle who came to the Lord after the resurrection, he said this, his grace is sufficient.
That's right.
Yes. I'm not an angel. Some of y'all may have done things you wished you hadn't, said, oh, my Lord, God's able to forgive you. The minute you say, Lord, forgive me, it's over. And then you throw it away. Don't do like I've done all my life and beat it over my head. He said, throw it away. So what have we learned? The first scripture there that we read about in Ecclesiastes said this, remember him in all things of our life. Remember. Because you see, remembrance involves trust. You can't remember something that you didn't. In other words, if it's something that was close to your heart, you trusted in it. You remember him. The next thing is, in the second thing we remembered when we was talking about Daniel, is trusting him. What the center verse of the Bible is? Anybody know what the center verse of the Bible is? Psalm 118:8. It says, somebody read it. I can't remember exactly what. Psalm 118:8. You got your Bible? She's got it. Psalm 118:8.
It says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man.
It's Better to put trust in the center verse of the scripture.
Yeah.
Our trust.
Trust leaning along me, right?
Yeah. That's right. And then the third thing that we just studied about, we remembered this, remembering him, trust him. And the third thing is this. Know the outcome.
Amen.
You know the outcome. It doesn't make any difference whatever takes place in your life. If as long as we trust in him, the outcome, I think about that little old Joseph. I wonder how many of y'all are about 17 now. You could say, I don't know what's in my life, but you know what? Joseph, a 17-year-old boy, had to put all of his trust, his life, in him. And I want to add one other thing. Never give up. Never give up. The things that take place in our lives, sometimes they load us down so much, and we begin to forget about God. It's just like David when he walked out. He trusted in God all of his life. I mean, he had done all these things, but then he got to the place where he forgot. Never give up.
Amen.
Even if the financial woes hit you and the troubles come to you, the young people especially, your career is not just exactly where you think it is. Don't give up. God has a plan.
Yes. Yes.
It may not be what you thought it was going to be. I assure you it ain't going to be that way. It ain't going to be that way. I never will forget one time a young boy was sitting on an airplane, and it looked pretty rough, looked pretty doubtful. And he said, Lord, I hope you know where I'm at. I hope you know where I'm at. And I want to penetrate the hearts of the parents today. I want to do this. I heard a guy say something that I thought was really, really good. He heard him say two things. We talked about it Sunday night. This young woman came running in, and she sat down before her little children, and she said, I don't know what I'm about to do. I'm about to lose my mind. That's one of our statements today. We're ready to lose our mind. And a little 4-year-old boy said, Mama, if you lose your mind, don't lose your heart.
Amen.
Because I'm in there.
Amen.
You're in the heart of God.
Yes.
Each and every one of us is. You're not only in his mind. He not only watches us, but we're in his heart. I hope y'all get something out of it. I want to ask if they will. I kind of asked. There's another thing, too, with them asking me to preach this morning. I got my chance to pick a song, so I asked Mandy. After all, I taught her, pick a song. And while you're listening to this song, if you got something to talk with the Lord about, something that you wish that you needed, that you need to talk to him. Listen, it don't mean that you got to talk to him right here, but this is a good place. Because it just shows that the wheels, as Joe says sometimes, we're up here talking, and he says, the wheels are turning.
Yeah.
And sometimes I've looked into the faces of most everybody here today, and I believe the wheels are turning.
Yeah.
If you got anything out of it, you come. If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you come. Go ahead.